Good morning.
Good morning.
Now we will have the opening prayer done by Black Student Union member Richard Robinson.
All right, let's all bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you have been with us this last week and that your presence is with us now. Lord, we thank you for Walt Gant. We pray that you would give him great inspiration as he shares with us what you have placed on his heart. We pray that you would fill him with courage and give him your peace. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now we will have the welcome by Black Student Union President London Wheeler.
Good morning, everybody. My name is London Wheeler. I'm the president of the Black Student Union. It's the first time the gospel choir has been together in 3 or 4 years, so it's a blessing to be up here this morning. This is just a kickoff for the race and dialogue, race and diversity dialogue for the week. These are Got Privilege shirts. We order these in commemoration for the theme of the year, which is privilege. So we welcome you and hope you enjoy yourself.
Please stand for the opening hymn.
So this is a hymn that I remember singing growing up. It's going to be a little fast paced, but I think you can catch it. The words will be behind us, and I will be sure to help line it for you. If I mess up, don't follow me, follow the words, all right? Okay, great, I'm glad. Feel free to clap with us. The stump is on 1 and 3, and the clap is on 2 and 4. There it is. How to reach.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer Jesus gave.
And I, if I
be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Here's the refrain, lift him up.
Lift him up, lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Verse 2.
Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
I forgot to introduce myself earlier. My name is Philip Watson. I'm the Black Student Union Treasurer, And now we have the introduction of the speaker by Celeste R. Thomas, our Black Student Union advisor. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen for the choir.
Amen.
Amen for the pews. And amen for the speaker.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have come to lift up his name on high this morning. I am honored to have the pleasure to introduce our speaker for this morning. He told me to not say everything, just the important things. And so the most important thing is that he is truly a man of God. He is my brother in Christ. He is a supporter and a friend. His personal vision statement is that he strives to make a positive difference in the world through informed, engaged, lifelong learning, to do no harm to humanity and the environment, to be an agent of change through active public service. His service objective is to promote the common bonds of humanity through a new paradigm of community, to stimulate belief in the worth of all people and encourage and embrace peace as a lifelong commitment to social justice. He is currently the Associate Director of Community Service Living at James Madison University, and he is also the Senior Minister at Union Baptist Church in Waynesboro, Virginia. He comes to us, he has been a formal congressional intern at Washington, D.C., with Congressman Ron Wyden of Oregon. And he was also a ministerial intern in Washington, D.C., at the Third Street Church of God. He also comes very credentialed, several master's degrees. He's got a master's degree in divinity from Howard University School of Divinity in Washington, D.C., and several others. So following the sermonic hymn, Humble Thyself, by the EMU Gospel Choir, the next voice you will hear will be that of none other than Reverend Walt Gant, and his message is, how can I respond to privilege? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is very much an honor for me to be with you today, and I'm very appreciative of my sister Celeste, whom I have worked with for many years since coming here to the Valley. And so when she extended to me an invitation to come and share with you as a community of believers, then I was happy that my schedule was able to oblige. And on this topic of privilege, there is a scripture that has been foundational for me and very much a grounding principle since my confession of faith some years ago now. And I want to share that scripture with you and then use it as a point of sharing some reflections on this topic of privilege. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and in his second letter, we call 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17 and through verse 20, shares a familiar text that I'm sure most of you have heard before if have not memorized for yourself. It reads in the New International Version, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." Verse 20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." As is my custom, if you don't mind, would you share with me in a word of prayer? Eternal God, for this day that you have made, we rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for the opportunity to be at Eastern Mennonite University with fellow believers in Christ. Thank you for an opportunity to share our faith together, to celebrate the good things you continue to do in our lives. But now, Lord, I pray that through your word and by your spirit, that you would challenge us to think and rethink who we are and whose we are and how we might engage and make a difference in the world on the basis of our faith. It's in Christ's name that I pray and for his sake. Amen. In 1991, fresh out of seminary, my first full-time position was with the Servant Leadership School located in the very vibrant and multicultural neighborhood of Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. It was at the Servant Leadership School where I met the school's remarkable founder by the name of Gordon Cosby, a man of vision, character, spiritual conviction, and deep commitment to social justice. Pastor Cosby embodied for me Robert Greenleaf's philosophy of servant leadership. And it was during one of the school's monthly forums where I also met and heard for the first time a man named Jim Wallace, founder and editor of Sojourners magazine. Wallace gave a talk that evening that I'd not heard before on the topic of privilege, and it was to a predominantly white audience. But I recall vividly what impressed me most about the lecture was a sense of what I call concentrated communal awkwardness. I was surprised to hear a white person talking to a group of other whites about their privilege. And keep in mind that this gathering was primarily a faith-based audience. And not surprisingly, the reception was, shall we say, less than warm. And I confess that I came away from that talk struggling with my own cynical notions of privilege. I assumed that any talk about privilege was always about them and never about me. However, following nearly 25 years of personal reflection, I have contextualized privilege in a much more substantive and, I trust, meaningful way. And just for a few minutes this morning, allow me to share just a few of these reflective points. Privilege, privilege. Privileged defined in this way as a special right, an advantage or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or a group. Of course, Peggy McIntosh in her very important work in 1988 in talking about privilege and the invisible, unpacking the invisible backpack, if you will. And of course, there has been subsequently Tim Wise and Michael Kimmel, bell hooks, and Alice Walker, and many, many others who have talked about this issue of privilege. And even in 2014, there are numerous sorts of privilege that we identify to categorize others and to have some sense of what they mean in our own experience. For example, gender, whether it's color, class, sexual orientation, religion, education, gender, identity, age, physical ability, etc. Those are just a few that you could name. But I will say that as an educated, middle-class, middle-aged, propertied, able-bodied, heterosexual, Christian male, I acknowledge the reality of privilege present and active in my own personal and public narrative. And so in answering the question, how can I respond to privilege, I must begin by looking in my own backpack. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I came from a broken home. Lived in foster care for 15 of my first 18 years of life. I experienced both frustration and juvenile incarceration as a high school dropout. I could have easily become a statistic consistent with the current foster care system where 20% become homeless after 18, 50% unemployed at 24, less than 3% earned college degrees, and 25% experienced PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. But something astonishing occurred. 30 years ago, this past October, I became a new creation. I made a profession of faith in Christ, and I joined a faith community that accepted me, that nurtured me, and challenged me to align reason alongside of my faith. And then I naively entered to what I call a cocoon of privilege called the church. And I submit to you that this morning, if you are part of a faith community, you too are privileged. Oh yes, membership within faith communities has its privileges. Leadership, companionship, friendship, relationships are all tangible, positive privileges within most, if not all, faith communities. And of course, there are no flawless groups above reproach, faith-based or otherwise. So consequently, during the process of forming my faith and spiritual development, I discovered, combined with positive privileges within faith communities, the presence of oppressive and destructive elements operating energetically and freely. This became very confusing and troubling to me, and I realized a deeper level of reconciliation must be undertaken in order for me to authentically maintain and fully develop my faith conviction. This segues to my second point. Not only do we need to recognize our privilege, but we have to, I believe, we must learn how to reconcile our privilege. Verse 18 and 19 says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And I will say without equivocation on this morning that I embrace freely the concept of personal divine reconciliation, but I also understand that personal divine reconciliation does not merge easily with systemic societal privilege. You recall the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew's gospel who asked Jesus, "Master, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replies, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, and honor your father and your mother." The young man replies, "Well, I have done all of that since a child. What else do I lack?" Jesus says to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." But the story goes that at these words, the young man went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And I believe that this instructive illustration is a reminder to all of us regarding the need to reconcile our spiritual condition with the reality of our own societal privilege, including possessions, but more importantly, reconciling the power and privilege of our personhood. For example, while I was matriculating through Howard University School of Divinity, I had an epiphany about my own privilege. Near the end of my studies, I realized that being male in the Christian church meant that I could maintain and even promote sexist prejudice ideology and not suffer career advancement within the church, and in some cases even be rewarded for holding such oppressive and ungodly views. That's the essence of privilege. And I believe that we are all called to reconcile our faith with our privilege so that we will better align who and what we profess with who we are and who we say that we represent, which leads to my closing point. Once we understand our true privilege is a result of our relationship with God, rather than feed on the stale birds of white guilt and militant hostility, we must embrace our true privilege and celebrate what we've received as believers as genuinely offering something to people who are hurting and who are dispossessed and who are confused and who are looking for a better quality of life. Peter and John said it this way, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you." Along with recognizing and along with reconciling our privilege, I believe that we must also represent our privilege. And here it is in verse 20. "We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so this morning, EMU community, and this morning, young people, my brothers and my sisters, I propose to you that the real question is not how can I respond to privilege, but really the question is how can I not respond to privilege? How can I not respond to privilege, my own personal privilege, when 1 in 10 struggles with hunger right here in the valley? How can I not respond to my privilege when gender inequity pay remains business as usual? How can I not respond to privilege when young black and brown men are being shot down in the streets like dogs? How can I not respond to privilege when the industrial prison frenzy continues unabated? I challenge you this morning to look at the privilege that you have of being a believer in Christ. And what has Christ called us to do and to become, which is to be ambassadors of his love, to stand up unapologetically, to stand up unashamed and declare that there is a message of love, a message of hope, a message of faith based in and rooted in our relationship with God. And so this morning, there was a wise man who shared some words that many of you have heard. He asked the question, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. In prison, you came to see me. When you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me." I submit to you this morning that the correct response to our privilege is recognizing that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, recognizing that we have all that we need to make a positive difference in the world, that you were not created in Christ to live a mundane life, to live a life beneath the privileges of what it means to be part of a community. But I challenge you this morning, what does it mean to have faith in God? How do I express my faith in God? How can I make a difference in the world? And if you ask yourselves those kinds of questions, sit quietly with God, meditate on the scriptures, hear the voice of God, speak to your own spirit. I am a living witness that God can change your life in miraculous ways. And not only will he change your life, he'll use you as an agent of change to make a difference in this world. God bless you on today.
Amen. Just a couple of brief announcements, just quickly. As London mentioned, we are embarking upon a semester-long process of dialogue on race and diversity with our theme being privilege. So as you come back next semester, look for opportunities to come and to speak and to view films and to have dialogue about different types of privilege. On November 18th, we are having a privilege poetry slam, spoken word cafe in Martin Chapel at 7:30. Please come out and present your original or read spoken word with the theme of privilege, tell a story, rap, and express your views creatively. Refreshments will be served. And then another announcement, we are also embarking upon the planning for our Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration in January, and the Harrisonburg Rockingham County NAACP branch is going to be celebrating on Sunday, January 18th at 3 o'clock, and they are pulling together a celebration choir. The first rehearsal will be November 23rd from 2 to 3, and the next rehearsal will be Saturday, January 17th, 9:30 to 10:30 at Asbury United Methodist Church. If you are interested, please see myself and I can get you to them, but they are looking to have a very diverse and multicultural choir and celebrate MLK and lift up the Lord on high. Thank you for coming to chapel. Have a wonderful rest of the week and day. Amen.